welcoming to the program an actor and dancer who has appeared, in a number of films, including Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, White Christmas, Brigadoon, There's No Business Like Show Business, and he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in his role in West Side Story as Bernardo. He's also done television work, Dallas, Santa Barbara, and even in the final episode of The Partridge Family. He's got a brand new memoir out called My West Side Story. We are pleased to be joined by George Chakiris this afternoon. George, thanks for being with us. We want to know, what is it that made you decide now was the right time to write this memoir?
Well, you know, I have a really good friend of mine who wrote the book with me, Lindsay Harrison. We were chatting over lunch or something, and we started talking about this. And so she brought it to my attention. And Lindsay has done books with other people, Tippi Hedren and so on. I know Tippi, it's a great book. But that's how it came about. And then I think it was Lindsay who was connected with the publisher. And long story short, the publishers who decided on the title for the book, which Lindsay and I were both very happy about. And that's kind of how it all happened.
Could you have imagined all those years ago as the son of Greek immigrants, what happened to you back in 2011 when you had your hand and footprints immortalized outside of the former Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Well, I'll tell you, no, never in a million years. You know, when I was first started studying dance at the American School of Dance on Hollywood Boulevard, I had a scholarship and I had to clean the studios at night and the mirrors and the floors and all of that by myself. And I would walk home every night too. I was renting a room on Hollywood Boulevard. And I would pass Grauman's Chinese Theater every night. It was always quiet, no tourists at that time. And to answer your question, in a million years, I don't think any of us even, it didn't even cross our minds that things would happen as they did, and which were kind of, especially getting to share that with Russ and Rita was great.
Now, you were a veteran of a number of films for more than a decade before West Side Story. Was that Song of Love? Was that your first film?
Well, yeah. It sounds a bit sort of grand to say it was my first film because I was a chorus boy in a choir at a church in Long Beach, and the choir very often sang for movies, and they sang for this particular movie called Song of Love with Katharine Hepburn, Paul Henry, and Robert Walker. And because we were in that musical sequence, the choir, the boys' choir, we were actually physically in the sequence. So, of course, we were at MGM Studios, and we were on that beautiful, wonderful MGM theater set. So there was a full orchestra on the stage and all of that. And we were in the back, way up in the set, in the back of the set. But we were part of the sequence, so... For me to say that was my first movie sounds a little bit grand because I was just a kid in the choir, you know.
We're talking with George Chakiris here on Downtown. And Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, you were one of the dancers in Marilyn Monroe's number, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. You also were in No Business Like Show Business and White Christmas. And am I right that it was a picture of you with Rosemary Clooney from White Christmas that really opened some doors for you as an actor?
It was. At that time, there was a spread in Life magazine on White Christmas, double-page spread, color spread, and in the lower left-hand, there was a picture of Rosie with the four guys around her. It wasn't just me. It was me and three of my fellow dancers who were, because there were just four of us, people could see us, and girls cut out that picture from Life magazine. I started getting fan mail, and nobody knew who I was, of course. But based on that and the fan letters that I was getting, and people figured out it was me, the producer of White Christmas thought that the studio should test me, and they did. And I was under contract to Paramount for a while as well because of that.
But it wasn't going the way you hoped, and eventually you moved back to New York, and it was there that you auditioned for Jerome Robbins. And people may not know, you ended up in the London, the West End production of West Side Story, but playing Riff.
That's right. It's so funny how things happen. I did go to New York in 1958 because there was work for dancers here in Los Angeles was kind of drying up. so that seemed to be the logical move to sort of make. And I had friends who were took me up on the couch in their living room at a place to stay, and they also knew everything that was going on in New York. And they're the ones who alerted me to the fact that West Side was just coming up to its one-year anniversary in the theater in New York, and also they were forming a London company, auditioning people. So I first read for Jerome Robbins for the role of Bernardo for the London company. And after I read for Bernardo, he then asked me to look at the role of Riff, and I did that. And then he Riff in the theater production sings Cool. So I had to learn Cool and go back and audition for Jerry again. So I auditioned three different times, initially as Bernardo and then as Riff. And then on my birthday, September 16, 1958, Ruth Mitchell, who was the stage manager for West Side Story at the theater, at the Winter Garden Theater in New York, called and told me that they were casting me as Riff in the London company. And that same day, I had seven checks for my California unemployment, $35 each. So it was a great day.
That's a memorable 24th birthday.
Yes, exactly. It really was memorable. I remember it like it just happened, you know, yes.
Well, it was such an amazing collection of talent in West Side Story. The creative team from Leonard Bernstein, Arthur Lorentz, Jerome Robbins, Robert Wise, and then the incredible cast. Now, I understand, though, that and you thought the world of Natalie Wood, but initially, at least, she did not want Richard Beamer in the role of Tony.
Well, you know, I heard all kinds of things. Just that I never knew anything factually, but the word was out that Natalie wanted either Warren Beatty or her husband to play that role, and she kind of tried to make that happen. Of course, it didn't happen. But from what I heard, just like you're hearing it too, I don't have a fact to help me, but we all understood, and because we heard it so often, that she did want Robert Wagner or Warren Beatty for that role rather than Richard Beamer. But of course, that didn't happen, and Richard estate was there.
Your dear friend Rita Moreno has talked about how the film broke so many rules, and it's incredible 60 years later to look back at it. It still just sparkles. It's so original, and no one has been able to copy it since, even as she has pointed out, even down to the costumes that the members of the gangs were wearing.
Well, you know, the costume designer for West Side Story and for a lot of other beautiful stage productions and movies was Irene Sheriff. Always designed whatever she did, but specifically for West Side Story, she designed for character. And one of the things I remember in terms of what I wore in the film, one day I was walking down the street to the soundstage to get ready for work, and I was wearing the black suit with that purple shirt. And that day, walking to the set with that black suit, purple shirt, it suddenly hit me how wonderful that suit and that the color of that shirt felt. And it really helped me to be Bernardo. And that's what Irene Sheriff did with costume. She designed for character and helped everybody. And that's very important for anybody in any movie role or any stage role. What you wear is very important. But again, Irene Sheriff designed everything for character. And so everything looked the way it was supposed to look and still be interesting.
Now, I understand that the production team wasn't completely sure about shooting on location, but is it true that the first scene that you shot was the one that convinced them this was the way to go?
Yeah. You know, from what I understand, you know, the prologue in the theater, because I did the prologue as written in the London company, the prologue in the theater version, staged by Jerry Robbins, is really very beautiful. And my understanding was that Jerry really wanted to do the opening of the film that same way. And I guess it was Robert Wise who talked him into doing what they ultimately did, the location work in New York. And once Jerry saw that, he absolutely agreed that that was the way to go, and so that's what happened. And the prologue on location in New York is such a beautiful way to start the film of West Side Story, because you're really on the streets and it's real. And a theater set would have been different. Being on the street and on those real locations was a beautiful way to start that film.
Now, Russ Tamblyn had quite a career as a child actor and a young actor before this, but hadn't done a lot of dance. I understand he had done more tumbling, more gymnastics work. And so did you help him out at all with that? And did they revise some of the choreography to work with the skills that he brought to the table?
Well, they absolutely did revise some of it in the dance at the gym. And it's so wonderful. Russ gets to do some gymnastic moves in the dance at the gym, and it really heightens the competition between the two sides, between the two gangs. They absolutely made use of Russ's gymnastic ability, and it also helped him. It just was better for the movie, but ultimately wonderful him as Riff as well. Russ is such a great guy, and you know, in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, the same thing. They all had to do gymnastic things, yeah. But Russ could do that in his sleep. He was so good at it.
So obviously you knew the success the show had had on Broadway and in London, so you had a pretty good idea this would be a hit. But could you have imagined that it would have legs like this, that 60 years later we would still be talking about West Side Story? And what do you think is the secret to that magic?
Well, first of all, no one ever imagined that. Never even crossed anybody's mind. But I think the quote-unquote magic is the beauty of the story, you know, based on the Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. It's about, you know, between the two gangs, and there's prejudice, and prejudice has always been with us and still is. And so I think people, when they see that and they feel that for the characters in the piece, we can all associate with it. We can understand that, and I think that's one of the aspects that keeps that story alive, and we as an audience can feel it.
Well, you went on after West Side Story to do a number of more films. You worked as a recording artist for a while, did a lot of TV work. I have very vivid memories of a couple of television performances, one being a role that was very different for you along with Chad Everett on Medical Center.
Oh, God. I got to do three episodes of Medical Center. It was a great show. And Frank Glicksman, who was the producer of that show, was really nice to me. And also, one of the beauties of one of those episodes was directed by Vincent Sherman. Vincent Sherman was a huge movie director at Warner Brothers and did some of the great stuff with Betty Davis. So the beauty of Medical Center and some episodic television as well, that you got to work with people like Vincent Sherman, who also moved into television as well. So it was you got to work with some extraordinary people.
And I also have very fond memories, and I think it must have been around 1967 or 68, a wonderful television version of Kismet with Jose Ferrer, Anna Maria Albrighetti, and Barbara Eden.
I loved Kismet, and the fact that I got to sing with Anna Maria, we got to sing Stranger in Paradise. That show was done in color, of course. I've never gotten to see it in color, but that was a great experience. It's a beautiful show. Anna Maria was incredible to work with, and Bob Mackie did great costumes, and Barbara Eden was so beautiful and so wonderful as in that show as well. But again, great people, Jose Ferrer, Barbara, and Anna Maria Albrighetti, and Hans Conried. So it was a serendipitous kind of piece of work, because again, you were with such wonderful people.
Now, was it your friendship with Shirley Jones that led to you appearing in the final episode of The Partridge Family?
Well, it wasn't because of my friendship. I mean, I had a friendship with Shirley for before that. We had the same representation a long time ago, and that's how I first met Shirley and Jack Cassidy, her husband. I knew the boys when they were really 6 months old, really kids. So I've known Shirley for a long time, and she's, you know, I sound like a broken record. I'm always talking about how nice people are. It sounds kind of boring to say that, but it's true. Shirley is another one of those really great people. You know, we were managed by a woman called Ruth Ahrens. And Ruth, one of the ways that Ruth, in talking about Shirley, she said she's Miss Wagon Train. And I always love that description, because Shirley, her strength is being able to deal with whatever is going on in her life in a rational, comfortable, easy way. You know, she's, again, I thought Miss Wagon Train was a great way to describe her, one way. But again, she's just a lovely person. She's just great.
Well, and we mentioned your friendship with Rita Moreno. We love her work on One Day at a Time that still should be on there. But I want to know if you two are sharing the same secret, because I've seen some recent interviews and pictures of you, sir, and both you and Rita look absolutely terrific.
Oh, well, God, thank you for that. I agree with you. She looks terrific. She really does. I don't know about me. I'm not objective about that, but I appreciate your saying that. You know, I think dancers, people who have a strong dancing background, and most dancers that I know, we all keep in touch with the dancers from the West that I saw. We're like a family, so we all see each other whenever we can. But dancers in general, I think it's a frame of mind. They're young in spirit, kind of a way, and they also have a great sense of humor. And I think those things help you feel the way you feel, and maybe in some way your appearance as well. But I again, most dancers that I've known over the years, and listen to me stuttering here like a fool, are just physically and mentally and in their hearts kind of young people. You know.
Now, what led to you designing jewelry, and what has become a fabulous collection, the George Chakiris collection? I've looked at a lot of it on the website at georgechakiris.com, and it's really beautiful jewelry.
God, thank you so much. You know, that started as a hobby a long time ago, 20 years. I've lost track of time. And I just fell in love with creating something, making something, having an artistic outlet, so to speak, aside from show business. And I really appreciate what you said about my collection. I've made every piece in the collection is something I have made physically myself. And once we have a piece that we like, we can then make a mold and make more pieces. But again, it started as a hobby, and I got familiar with the jewelry district downtown Los Angeles, and then I serendipitously I met a distributor from Japan. And he's been distributing my things in Japan ever since at a great department store. The department stores in Japan are just amazing. But I've been selling jewelry in Japan and here in the States on my website. So one of the beautiful things about making jewelry is once you've gone through the process of creating it physically, whether you do it with a mold or wax or however you create the piece, once the piece is created, one of the beauties of it to me is I can hold it in my hand. Mm-hmm. I can hold it, and there's something really gratifying about that.
The website is georgechakiris.com. George's book is out now, My West Side Story, and some wonderful stories and memories from a remarkable career and a remarkable life as well. George, we appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us, and we wish you a continued good health and success.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you. Thank you for your really nice questions, and I wish you all the best as well.